Amen. Want to get into this conversation on anxiety. Anxiety. So I'm going to pray and we're going to go right into it. Speak, Father, your servants are listening. We pray that you would anoint all of our ears to hear, eyes to see, and mouths to speak for you. And we'll be careful, Lord, as always, to give your name glory, honor, and praise. We love you more than anything. In Jesus' name, amen. How many know anxiety is real? Right. How many people have been anxious before? Mm-hmm. Good. That's great. Honest house. I love it. How many people are anxious now about something in your life? Something. Amen. That's good. That's good to be honest about. Anxiety is real. How many know anxiety will take you out of here? If you're not careful, you'll become so anxious about something that you believe to be beyond your control that you'll decide, you know what, I'm going to do the only thing that's within my control in my life. People do that. People have taken their lives because of how anxious they have become about what they have the potential to face tomorrow. And so rather than engage something that at this point, if you're honest, is nothing but a potential threat because it has not even happened yet, people would rather do the one thing that they can do immediately and take things into their own hands. You look at what's looming, you look at what's ahead of you, you decide that's too hard, you can't figure out a way out of it, you don't know how you're going to deal with it. And so rather you think, or people think, than be bothered with it, I'd rather just go ahead and quit. I'd rather just throw in the towel. I'd rather not even try. This is because part of the function of anxiety, get this down, is to discourage us. That's part of its function. Anxiety, as we're about to learn, is a byproduct of fear. And its role, it serves a purpose. Good God Almighty. It serves a purpose. By the Spirit on tonight, if the Lord, with the Lord's help, what we want to do, if the Lord will help me, what we want to do is, I want you to see anxiety for what it is by the Spirit. It is a tool, write this down, that the enemy uses to discourage us, frighten us, and keep us away from our destinies. Anxiety is a what? Tool that the enemy uses to discourage us, frighten us, and keep us away from our destinies. Anxiety is what? A what? A tool. Tools are all created with a purpose. Hammers meant to knock nails into wood. Screwdrivers meant to get screws, turn them, get them going into what they're going into. Screws, nails meant to hold things together. Pliers meant to grab and to pull. Shears meant to cut. Saw meant to slice, meant to cut. Tools have a function. People manufacture them because they need help doing something.
Oh, God. Good God.
Hey. And so when the enemy needs help keeping you away from the promised land, he reaches into his trusty tool belt. Oh, God, we're off to the races. And one of the tools that he'll pull out on you is fear. Good God Almighty. Somebody just scream, I want this. That was ridiculous. Just scream, I want this. One of the tools he'll pull out for you is fear. Another tool he'll pull out anxiety. He'll pull out something called distraction. He can pull out something that's akin kinfolk the distraction, preoccupation. And then he'll try to pull out something called hesitation. You know the promise. You know what it is. You know what God's told you. You know what you're supposed to do. You know you're supposed to be running after it. But he causes you to stutter, stutter. And hesitate. And in the time between when you should have gone and you didn't because you hesitated, your opportunity has left you. You pull out tools, fear, anxiety, temptation. He'll tempt you. He'll use lies and schemes. He has a tool belt. And his tools are created with a function. Amen? And so the function of anxiety is to discourage you and to frighten you and to keep you away from everything that God has for you. Let me tell you something else anxiety will do if you allow it. Anxiety will also confuse you. You're anxious, and so when you're anxious, I don't know what to do. I don't know which way to go. I don't know if I should call. I don't know who I should talk to. I don't know what they're going to say. Oh, my God. You've gotten so anxious about it, you become confused. So now you're confused. What you thought you knew, now you question. Because you're trying to find an alternative to the problem that you feel like you can't figure out. And because anxiety is talking to you and its function is to distract you, all of its alternatives are dead ends. So you keep running through all of its suggestions and they keep bringing you right back to the same place. All you do is end up anxious again. Because it does not get you anywhere. Doesn't take you anywhere. Anxiety is meant to hurt you. It's meant to harm you. It's not good for you not to be in your place of destiny. That's not good. It's not good for you to be on the outside looking in. That's a dangerous place to be. It's not good for you to be outside the presence or the covering of God. Amen, somebody. And so anxiety comes to push you out and to keep you out. If you are actively, get this down, being anxious, you are wrong. Amen. Pastor, you preaching, oh my God. I love this. Give me more. If you are actively being anxious, you're wrong. So tonight, we're going to demask this thing. We're going to learn more about this thing, and we're going to understand that we have the power to fight back. Amen? If you believe it, come on, give God some praise on tonight. Anxiety is defined, according to dictionary.com, as distress or uneasiness of what? Of mind. Where does anxiety dwell? Where does it live? In your mind. It's my mind. The mind. People's mind is a terrible thing to waste. Your mind, the battlefield is in your mind. We're going to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's funny how much time God spends letting us know that the transformative power that he brings to our lives needs to be exercised on our minds, that our destiny is determined as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Our minds and what's in our mind has a huge impact on who we are, but we just let any old thing and any old body get into it. Walk around throughout the day, listening to all types of music, like it's not going into your mind. Where do you think the lyrics live? Preach. Preach. In you. That's why you, like me, may not, some of you, like me, may not have listened to certain music in years. And right now, if you put on Biggie Life After Death, I can rap it with you. And it's been years. And we can do Tupac right now. How could that be that a song you haven't heard in years because it's in your mind? So you cannot be arbitrary about it, because the good stuff is going to live in your mind, and anxiety and fear and all the stuff the enemy wants to put in there going to live in your mind as well. You've got to be in better control of what you allow to get into your mind and out of. Because some of the stuff that comes into your mind, you need to hold on to. You need to keep it in mind. That's why God says, meditate on my word. Think on these things. Set your mind.
God Almighty, I feel like raging in this joint.
Because he is in control. He's concerned about your mind as well. That's why you can't just be looking at any old thing. That's why you got to be aware of how what you're watching is affecting you. There's some stuff that I watch with a remote control in my hand. I can deal with part of the content, but if y'all go sideways on me, you're not going to get me. Nope. I don't feel like spending the next 48 hours getting that junk out of me. So you've got to be more aware of what's going on in your mind. Anxiety, distress, or uneasiness of mind. Now, what if you're anxious are you thinking about during most of the day? Here's what I want to tell you. I know what it is. Whatever's making you anxious. Because the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And so if I'm anxious, it's because I'm thinking about in my mind and in my heart that which is causing me to be that way. I don't need to know. I know what you're thinking about. Whatever's making you anxious. All the time. More often than you should. What are you thinking about? Well, what should you do? Stop thinking about it. Well, Pastor, that's easier said than done. It is. You got to do something. You got to do something. Welcome to Christianity. And as we've been learning, one of the things that we've got to do is cast it down. We've been learning and we've been looking at it. The weapons of our warfare, the scripture says, are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Let me see if we can find it. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ Jesus, and having a readiness to avenge all disobedience. What does he say we're supposed to be doing? Though we walk in the flesh, but not in the flesh, the weapons of warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down. Pull down, that means effort. Casting down, that means effort. Bringing into captivity, that means I got to go get it. Do something with it. I cannot think that my posture as a believer, as a Christian, as a follower of Christ, is one of inactivity. I was talking to the men last night. You have to be in an active posture if you're going to survive and strive in this life and thrive in this life. You got to be actively engaging what's coming into your mind. No, I can't think about that. No, I can't look at that. No, I can't go to that place. No, this woman can't get into my mind. No, I'm not doing that. Oh, nope, I'm not doing that. Because those things will come in, and anxiety is real. It lives in your mind. It's distress or uneasiness of the mind caused by fear of danger or misfortune. Now, I want to say this real quick because I want to make sure you get this casting down piece, because that's how you're going to fight the thoughts that are coming into your mind that are making you anxious. Casting down simply means I choose not to. In the church, there are certain people who like to super spiritualize things, and so they make you believe casting down requires all white in your outfit, oil in your hand, and slinging and speaking in tongues. Casting down is, nope, I'm not thinking about that. Nope, 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 I'm not engaging that. Nope, 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 not thinking about it. Nope, 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 nope. But pastor, every time I do that, it comes back. Then you cast it down again. Every time it pops up, you cast it down. Some of y'all used to fight. Every time the Bama got in your face, you punched him again. You didn't expect it was going to be a one-hit wonder. You're like, no, we're going to scrap, and every time you throw, I'm going to throw back. Welcome to the life of a Christian. Scrap on this side. Well, it keeps on coming back into my mind. Well, keep on scrapping. And it's amazing that in the world, we do not want anybody to find out somebody beat us up. So much so that if they get us, you'll go get them back just so that the narrative can at least have at least it can be like, I got them back. Really. And just let them beat me down and keep going. But in the walk, oh, but pastor, it's so hard. And the thought keeps coming back over and over again. Well, cast it down over and over again. Well, how often am I going to have to do this? Possibly all day. Are you serious? Yes. What's my alternative? Be anxious. Get nothing done. Watch stress eat away at your body. Stay away from all that God has for you. Be confused about your destiny. Walk in darkness. Get sad and depressed. Tear down the people around you. Get distracted from all the blessings that are around that you can't even appreciate because you're anxious about this one thing that has not even happened yet. What are my alternatives? Anxiety, fear, being utilized by the enemy. Or you can cast it down. And the Bible has this promise. If you resist the devil, he's going to flee. Resisting is not a one-time thing, though. No, no, no. Did you know that people have to develop resistance? Did you know that when a doctor wants you to be resistant to a particular type of illness, what they will do is oftentimes inject you with something to inoculate you against that illness, and you have to go get that inoculation. But if you're like me, you don't get a flu shot just one time. You have to go get a flu shot over and over again. Because in order to be resistant to something, it's not always a one-time thing. You have to build up your resistance. It does not happen overnight. You have to learn how to say no and keep saying no. You have to build up your resistance to the point where it does not hurt you anymore. I watch a lot of National Geographic and Discovery Channel. People who handle poisonous snakes, oftentimes they will use minor, very, very small amounts of the venom in order to build up a resistancy in their system to a snake bite so they don't get harmed. They're building up resistancy. You've got to learn how to say no over and over again and keep on casting it down until you are resistant to it. And it's no longer able to move you and tempt you like it once was and like it now is. If it's still able to move you, disrupt your day, and bother you, you have not become resistant to it yet. See, there are some things as a pastor I'm resistant to now. I used to not be resistant. So, like, for example, like when I find out people who in my face would be very kind behind my back would talk about me, that mess used to get me. to mess me up, man. I would lose sleep. I'd be crying, walk around. Oh, they love me. No, I'm resistant now. No. I'm so doggone resistant, I expect people to do it. But that was not instantaneous. It took years. And sometimes even now, something still will bother me. But I'm much more resistant to it than I once was. I've built up resistance. You have to say no and learn how to practice continually saying no to the thoughts that try to come into your mind in order to take you over into anxiety. Anxiety is distress or uneasiness of mind. What is it caused by? Fear. Fear. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, God has not given us a spirit of fear. So who's giving you fear? The enemy. Fear is not one of God's creations. Every time one of his ambassadors shows up in Scripture, one of the first things they say is fear not. Why? Because you can't even hear what I have to tell you from God if you let fear get in the way. Woo. So before I can tell you this good news about the baby you're going to give birth to, Mary, before I can tell you this strategy that's going to be used to destroy the walls around Jericho and take you over to the promised land, Joshua, before I can give you the vision that God has for me to give you, Daniel, first I got to tell you, fear not. I got to tell you that first, because until we get fear out of the way and anxiety is just on fear, you can't even appreciate what I'm here to talk to you about. Good God. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. And so I've got destiny I'm trying to share with you. I've got good news I'm trying to bring you. I've got something that's going to be a blessing to your life. I want to bring your way, but you can't hear it yet. You can't handle it yet. Why? Because you're listening to fear. So until I get with fear and deal with fear, why? Because get this in your spirit. Because fear will give you a distorted view of God's reality. Preaching this joy. Fear will give you a distorted view of God's reality. God's reality, good God Almighty, it's going to distort your view. So instead of seeing the promised land as a place with milk and honey that you can conquer, you listen to the fearful report, which says it's teeming with giants. And they're bigger than us. And we're grasshoppers. If you're some grasshoppers, just eat all the weeds then. Just eat them all off. Do whatever you... Don't let fear do all of... Here's the land that God has promised you since Abraham. You right here, but you can't appreciate it for the blessing that it is because you have a distorted view. All you can think about is the 2-3 problems that are there. All you can think about is what you don't have. All you can think about is what you haven't done. All you can think about is what you're gonna have to deal with. You're not thinking about your God. So when God brings you your destiny, fear shows up and tries to give you its version of it. Now, God helped me prepare for you on tonight by allowing us to work with the men. Let me show you what will happen, though. Fear will show up, and this is what it will do. Come here, brother. Fear will do this. If you are here, and the promised land is up here. Come right here. The promised land is up here, and you're back here. And see what has to happen is, in order for you to get over to the promised land, what you have to do is you have to go through this in order to get there. But here's what happens. When you get right here, you haven't seen that yet. You haven't gotten there yet. You don't know what that is yet. All you have is your best guess of what it might be like. So fear uses that, and anxiety uses your ignorance to its advantage. This is great preaching. This is phenomenal preaching. Fear and anxiety use your ignorance to its advantage. Preach. And so fear and anxiety start telling you, hey, man, I'm looking over, brother is about 6'12". He looks like he bench presses houses. Arms look like King Kong. He got a machine gun on one shoulder. Fear will give you a little bit of truth. Walk around in camouflage green. Look like he's ready for business. A distorted view. Fear will describe the situation based on the enemy's vantage point, not on God's. And so you haven't seen it yet. You haven't gotten there yet. And your view of what it's going to be is being damaged, distorted, and torn down. And you're becoming more anxious and more discouraged and more fearful every time you listen to this false description brought to you by none other than the father of lies. And so you listen to what fear and anxiety have to say instead of saying, you know what? Go over here and just meet this brother for myself. Man, how you doing, bro? You all right, man? Oh, it's a nice. Thank you. Instead of going and saying, let me go see this for myself. You never take that step. Because you've done all of your surveillance and developed your opinion based on the narrative brought to you by the father of lies via anxiety and fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear. So if fear is running around in your spirit, it did not get there from God. Get that in you. It did not get there because God put it there. It got there because the enemy offered it to you and you allowed it to come in. Preach. That's how it got there. That's how it got there. All he can do is offer it to you. That's why one of the biggest lies in the church is the devil made me do it. It's one of the biggest lies church folk have ever said. The devil made me. No, he didn't. He never did. He can't. He offered it to you. You chose it, rolled it up, lit it, and smoked it. He offered it to you. You took your clothes off, got in the bed with it, slept with her. He offered it to you. You accepted and engaged. He didn't make you. If fear got in you, it's because you allowed it to come in. He's not given us a spirit of fear, but of what? Power. Fear cancels that out. Love. Fear cancels that out. Sound mind. Fear cancels that out. Fear cancels out what God gives. God gives you power. Fear makes you feel like you're powerless. Fear makes you feel like you can't do it. You don't know what to do. You don't know how. And so you don't even try. God gives you love. And fear makes you believe that God can't love you as much as he does. Because fear makes you doubt whether or not God's going to take care of you. Fear makes you doubt whether or not God's going to provide for you. Preach. Fear makes you doubt whether or not God has your best interest in mind when he called you to it. Fear makes you doubt whether or not it's best for you. Fear makes you doubt. Preach in this joint. Fear makes you doubt your God. And if you know God loves you, why would he call you something, call you to something that's not going to be great for you? If you know God loves you, why would he take you somewhere that's going to harm you? Preach. If you know God loves you, why would he string you out there without a lifeboat? Preach. But fear and anxiety cancel all that out. They cancel out power. They cancel out love. And they doggone sure cancel out a sound mind. That's your peace of mind. That's your being in control. That's your serenity. That's your peace. They come in, they scrap all that up. When fear and anxiety are lodged in your mind, you're not thinking soundly. You know what you're doing? You're being reactionary. Preach. Preach, preach. You're in a reactionary posture. The Christian ought never be in a reactionary posture. Not when you have prayer. Not when you can speak over it. Not when you can call those things that are not as though they are. Not when you have a prophetic spirit on the inside of you called the Holy Ghost that's going to tell you those things which are to come. Not when you have the word of God to shed light into the darkness. Not when you have them saying, I'll be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway. How in the world are you going to be reactionary when you got access to the all-knowing, all-seeing, all-powerful God? There's stuff impacting my family right now. We have a peace about it because I've been praying about it for years. So when stuff catches me off guard, I can tell my wife with absolute certainty. Don't even trip over that. That's covered, man. I've been praying about it like 6 months ago. That's so prayed over by now. I was talking to my friend about that today. That's so prayed over right now. I don't even have to worry about that. I've prayed over this situation so much because God started talking to me about it about a year ago that I'm not even tripping over that right now. I've so saturated that I'm not tripping over that. You're not going to catch me off guard. There are some things that surprise me, that will surprise you. But when you're walking with the Lord, there's a difference between being surprised and unprepared. Preach in this joint. Preach in here. Preach. 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 There's a difference between being surprised and unprepared. I might be surprised, but I'm prepared for it. As a matter of fact, the biggest surprise is going to be how prepared for it I am. Good God, I feel this joy tonight. Because God has been working on me, because I've been spending time with him, because I've been in his presence, because I've been worshiping him, because I've been talking to him, and he's been giving me glimpses of that which is to come, and he's been telling me what to read, and he's been telling me what to listen to, and he's been telling me where to go, and he's been telling me I feel like raging, and he's been getting me ready for that which is coming. So you might surprise me, but I'm prepared. Oh, God, help me in here. No, I'm prepared. Prepared. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. And I want to say, so I can be as pastoral as possible, that if you're continuously feeling as though you're not prepared, you need to check your relationship. You always feel like, not only am I surprised, I find out I'm not even ready to handle what I got myself into. You need to check your relationship. Because part of what God does is develop us, mature us, and get us ready for what's coming. And if you walk in relationship with him, he'll be preparing you when you don't even realize it. So by the time the test shows up, good God Almighty, you realize I got strength in me. Ooh, I don't even know where it came from. I've got a reservoir to pull on. I've got something deposited in me. I did not even know it was there. Good God, I got a whole nother gear. I thought I was in a 5. I can go all the way to 6. I didn't even realize it. I wasn't even aware of how prepared I am. And so if you're finding yourself constantly surprised and realizing that you're ill-equipped and unprepared for how to even navigate through and handle the situation with God, you need to check your relationship. You ain't been spending enough time with him. You ain't been giving him the time that he needs. You ain't been giving him the access to you that he needs in order to get you ready for what's coming into your life. Amen. Fear, therefore, because of this, because fear cancels out that which God gives, fear is always wrong. And again, we talked about in the beginning, if you are actively being anxious, you're wrong. Because fear is always wrong, and you can experience it without giving into it. One of my rules, I was talking to, there's some young men that God at this point in my life, I'm really excited about it, is giving me a chance to do some mentoring in a way that I have not before. And mentor brothers who aren't even like fully really in Christ yet. They just want to start moving in the right direction. So this is not the kind of stuff you can pull out Romans. You can't talk to them about Luke. No, you just have to be like, look, man, don't look at her booty today, okay? Just don't look at her today. That's where it is. Hopefully you can handle that. And so when I'm working with them, I try to give them truth and wisdom that is of God so that they can develop an appetite for more of him. And so one of the tips that I gave this young man was this. I said, listen, man, what I do, because I'm married, I got a beautiful wife, but you know, men don't cheat on their wives because their wives are ugly. I said, man, I, from my understanding, I ain't listened to it, the album, but my understanding is Jay-Z just told everybody he was cheating on Beyonce. She ain't ugly. I said, man, I literally had this conversation. I said, man, listen, every dude Halle Berry been with done cheated on her. She is not ugly. She's fearfully and wonderfully made. But what I told him was, I said, man, as is my wife, I told him, I said, so what I do as a man who's not gay and will forever like and be attracted to women permanently, forever, what I said is, you can experience it without giving into it. What I said is, my rule is, I'm going to only look once. And that look is not going to be intentional. Because I told him, I said, man, listen, and some of you heard this before, I said, listen, man, you know, I could be going to the bank, and I could be walking in, I could be getting my stuff ready, I could get out my card, and I'm walking up, and I forgot my check, so let me get my check. So I'm walking in, I got my deposit slip, I'm filling it out, and then I get to the desk, and then I put my stuff down, I slide my stuff in, and then I look up, and you're beautiful. And I have no control over that. So I could be at the gym, and I'm bench pressing, and so I'm laying on my back. And the weights are going up, and I'm focused on what's going on up. I'm pushing, I'm really focused, because I don't want 200-some pounds falling on my chest. And then I'm like, whew, finally lock up my last rep. Man, that was a good rep. And then I sit up, and because I'm sitting down, I'm waist level. And so what happens is, in that moment, something has arrived. Temptation has arrived. But I don't have to allow it to come in. So for me, because I want to stay faithful to my, I don't look twice. You might get me once. You got me. You had to tell it. You got me. You got me. You're right. That's all right. I'm gonna slide right over here. Can you help me, sir? She is inappropriately dressed today. I was telling the brother I'm working with, man, I said, listen, man, sometimes I have to just change up whatever exercise I'm doing. Because if I just happen to be on the bench and for whatever reason all the women who look a certain way want to be around the bench today, then I need to go and do some reps or something else. I only look once. What are you saying all this to illustrate, Pastor? Because fear will show up when you least expect it. If you talk to somebody and they say to you they never experienced fear, they're lying. You super holy, guess what? The Bible makes it pretty clear Jesus was dealing with some serious anxiety in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he was Jesus. But what you do not do is allow fear and anxiety to get, you don't keep looking at it. You don't keep looking at it. When it shows up, you might see it, but you got to cast it down and look the other way. Run the other way. You don't engage it and keep talking to it and invite it to come into your mind and sit there and walk with you for the day. You don't take it home to your family. You don't take it home to your spouse. You don't turn it over to your kids. You see it. You say, God, you got me, but I'm not giving in to that. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. My God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all I could ask or think. God is able. God is. And so you talk back. You block it out. You don't allow it to come in. You can experience fear without becoming afraid. And so with anxiety and fear, it's important for me to know they may come my way, but I'm not going to keep looking at it. The reason that you're anxious is because you keep looking at it. Whatever makes you feel that way, you keep looking at it. Every time it shows up, instead of being like, oh, no, poop. You know, as you become more discerning and more aware of what's going in and out your mind, you'll see it coming. You will. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You'll see it coming. You'll be like, I'm getting ready to go. I'm getting ready. Inside of yourself, you'll be self-aware. You'll be able to tell, oh, I'm getting ready to get angry. I'm getting ready to, boop, nope. You can stop yourself before you even get there. But some of us, you know what we do? Anxiety! Yo, what's up, cuz? Come through today about 5. I'll be at the crib, rolling the L. Come sit down on the couch with me. Come to anxiety. Fear, come through, smoke something. Hey, and then, you know, for those of you who don't do it that way because that's too vulgar. Hey, anxiety, listen, I'm going to be at work today about 9. I've got a meeting with my boss, but after that, I've got a little 15-minute break, and if you could come and meet me around that time, I'm going to have 15 minutes I can devote just to you. We can talk about it. We can cry. We can get sad together. We can get depressed. And then I have enough time to go back in and try to gather myself, brush my hair, re-put on my makeup before I have to go back and be at my desk. But I'm serious. Don't be late because my boss might get me and interrupt me, and I won't have the time that I want to spend with you today. We make appointments with it. And so you have to learn that you don't have to allow it to come in. You can experience it. We make appointments with it. But instead of making appointments with that, we ought to make appointments with God. We ought to make appointments with peace. We ought to make appointments with the Word. You ought to be changing your daily routine so that you can have more time to spend with Him, because He'll keep you in perfect peace if your mind is stayed on. So if my routine creates room for anxiety, maybe I need to change my routine so that I have less room for anxiety and more room for God. Maybe there's some things about how I'm moving through the day that I need to examine and revisit. Maybe some of the people who I talk to on a daily basis aren't people I need to talk to on a daily basis. Maybe social media is not the best thing for me right now in my life. Because if every time I get on there, I'm reminded of a relationship that I'm no longer in, maybe that's not good for me. Maybe if every time I get on Facebook, I see pictures that remind me of the life that I'm no longer living and what I'm not doing anymore, and it makes me want to do it and go back to it and be tempted to go back, maybe I shouldn't look at the pictures all day long. Can you tag me? And so it's possible for me to experience it without giving into it. A little bit more. Apprehension. Apprehension is a great way of you understanding what fear and anxiety are all about. And we're going to look at this really briefly, and then I want to open up for questions on this topic on tonight. Is that okay? So anybody got some questions already? You got some questions in you? Anybody got questions? Okay, yeah, that's so exciting. I'm so great to see a class that wants to ask. So apprehension, anticipation of adversity or misfortune, suspicion of fear or future trouble or evil. Notice here the key is anticipation. Apprehension is another word for anxiety. Anxiety is a form of fear, and anticipation means that whatever I'm fearful of or anxious about, it ain't even happened yet. I'm spending time with possibilities instead of talking to the God of certainty. I'm spending my time with possibilities. Only negative ones allowed. Instead of focusing my attention on the promises.
Oh God.
On the truth that's espoused from the God of certainty. Because He already said, my promises are yes and amen. And we know amen simply means it is so. But instead of spending my time meditating on His word, which is filled with His promises, and examples, by the way, because some of us need examples, of Him being faithful to them, I'd rather babysit negative possibilities. Because it hasn't happened yet. It might not ever happen. It will likely not even take place. God may deal with it before it even comes your way. But you're spending so much time with the possibility, you can't hear Him talking about the certainty. So you won't do what's necessary in the moment because there's a possibility something might happen. There's a possibility they might do this. It might go that way. This might happen. There's a possibility. You're anticipating. That's what apprehension and anxiety and fear thrive on. You anticipating negative outcomes that have not even happened yet. And you giving credence to them. That means you making them valid. You deciding that they're true. Even though they're simply possibilities. Ooh, you making possibility truth. Instead of standing on the truth of God, standing on the word, you standing on possibility. No wonder your mess is all shaky. Because what's possible is partly dictated by what's going on around me. Environment in some ways affects possibility.
Preach.
Atmosphere affects possibility. What's possible in one place may not be possible in the next. But truth will stand no matter where it is. Amen. So you got to be careful about that, man. You got to be careful about that. Anticipating negativity before it even happens. The faculty or act of apprehending or understanding perception on a direct and immediate level. Look at this one. I want you to get this one. Acceptance of or receptivity to information without passing judgment on its validity, often without complete comprehension. Break that down, Pastor. So the enemy comes, and as we learned earlier, he gives you information about the promised land. Based on the information that the enemy gives you, you decide that it's valid. And so you determine that the information that he's giving you is valid, but you have not even passed judgment on it yet. You have not even taken the time to determine whether or not it's of God, it's not of God. Did God say it? Didn't he say it? Does it line up with his word? Does it line up with what he's done in my life already? Nope. What'd you do? You got information and you determined that it was valid without passing judgment on it. And so what you did was you had an incomplete set of information. And so without complete comprehension, without even seeing the full picture, you had never even been there yourself to really see what it was like. You decided that the version of the story that you got fed by the enemy was true. And so you made it valid before you could even comprehend it completely. You made it valid. You done already decided what is and is not going to happen. You already decided because you know. Because you know. I'm telling you, child. So it can be a view. It's an opinion. See, it's not fact. An idea on a particular subject. Most of the time, I'm anxious about something that has not even happened yet. The future. And sometimes it can be an indication, and oftentimes is an indication of a lack of faith. And so here's what God says in Philippians 4, 6 through 9. Make sure you got these scriptures down as we close. These are the scriptures that are going to help you fight back against this thing. Philippians 4, 6 through 9 says, be anxious about nothing. Do not be anxious about anything. If you are actively, what did God tell us at the beginning? If you are actively being anxious, you are wrong. Scripture says, do not be. Do not go into a state of being. Do not become. See, becoming. Do you see that? Do not become. It's not, don't be tempted. Don't become. You can be tempted, but you don't have to become. Preach. Don't become. You may be tempted to become, but don't become. Don't become. Don't give over to it. Don't allow it to be who you are. Don't allow it to overtake you. Don't yield to its way. Good God Almighty. Yeah. Don't say yes to it. Hallelujah. Don't allow it to infiltrate and infatuate you with things that are not of God. Don't do that. Don't become. Do not be anxious about anything. Instead, whatever is coming my way that has a temptation for me to be anxious about it, what am I supposed to be doing? Praying about it. Praying about it. Praying about it. God, yabba yada yada yabba do badada do badada do. God, make a way, make a way, make a way, make a way. God, I turn it over, I turn it over, I turn it over, I turn it over. God, show me how, show me how, show me how, show me how. God, protect Khalil, protect Khalil, protect Khalil, protect Khalil. God, provide for my family, provide for my family, provide for my family, provide for my family. God, give us new friends, give us new friends, give us new friends, give us new friends. God, connect me with the right people, connect me with the right people, connect me with the right people, connect me with the right people. God, show me the right way, show me the right way, show me the right way, show me the right way. God, remove it, remove it, remove it, remove it, remove it. God, heal, 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 heal. And every time the thought comes back, guess what? You have another opportunity to talk to God about it again. That's how whatever it is that's making you anxious can be flipped and now become absolutely saturated in prayer. Preach. See, early on, when I told you there are these things that I've been praying about for 8 months, for 6 months, for a year, the reason I've been praying about it is because every time God would bring it to my mind, I would go into prayer about it. I could have decided I'm going to be anxious about it, but instead I just decided, God, I'm just going to pray about it. And so, devil, I got a one-up on you. Every time you try to get me and make me anxious because my God gives me the power to work all things together for my good, I'm not going to become anxious. I'm just going to pray about it more and more and more. And all you're doing is reminding me to cover. Good God Almighty. Every time you bring it to my mind, you're just reminding me to cover. You thought you were going to make me fearful. You thought you were going to make me doubt. You thought you were going to make me afraid. All you did was remind me to cover. Remind me to go in. Oh, remind me to give it up. Remind me to lay it down. Hey, all you did, you didn't make me anxious. You reminded me to cover. Thanks for that other creative negative possibility. I never would have thought about it going that way. Let me cover that too. Good God. Every alternative outcome that you present, devil, because if you're presenting it, that's a possibility for you. So you don't realize it, but in trying to make me anxious, all you did was give me insight into your plan. So now, thank you for being all excited and hasty to try to take me down. All you did was tell me what you're going to do, so I'm going to pray about it before you even get a chance to do it and impact me that way.
Man, good God, good God.
So every time you try to make me anxious about it by telling me what you might do, I'm going to pray about it before you get a chance to. That's how my prayer becomes petition. Anxiety can be a tool that can take your prayer to petition.
Good God.
Woo! Then the Bible says, because you got to believe it and have faith that God is going to do what he's going to do, don't just pray and petition, add thanksgiving to it. God, I thank you. God, I praise you. God, I'm grateful. God, you're able. God, it's already done. God, I'm not even worried about it anymore. God, I know you're going to handle it. God, thank you for making a way. God, I add thanksgiving to it. Present your request to God. And God says, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. Peace will come in and deal with that which you cannot even fully even comprehend yet. Will guard your hearts in your minds, in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, since we've been talking about what not to think about, whatever is true, whatever is noble, truth, not possibility. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever, you know, some of the stuff you think about happening, it ain't even lovely. I mean, you know, in church we want to talk about holy and pure. I mean, it don't even look good. Why would you think about it if it don't even look good? Good God. You're sitting back looking at an ugly version of yourself. Looking at you being downtrodden. It is ugly. It ain't lovely. Good God. Whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, you can mention it in testimony of people who start giving God praise. Think about those things. Whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. And the God of peace, he says, will be with you. And here's what he says to do in 1 Peter 5:7. Cast all your anxiety on him. Why? Because he cares for you. Amen? Amen. Come on, stand to your feet on tonight. Were you blessed by the word? We got to get questions. Sit back down. Cast your anxiety on him because he cares for you. I put that up, and this I will have you look at this as we open up for questions. We'll end the podcast there so we can be in time. Thank you, baby. And to cast, that's important because when you're casting, I was talking to the brothers about this, when you're casting, it takes effort to throw it. If you're going to cast your cares.